Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. How strong is your spiritual vision? Can you look at a 38-acre plot of land in North Edmond and see the start of God's college on earth? Back in June 2000, the Philadelphia Church of God did purchase 38 acres right here in North Edmond, Oklahoma. Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury wrote in the Philadelphia Trumpet at the time that he was planning to start a college on those 38 acres in 2001 or 2002. Back at that time as well, the church newspaper said that the 38-acre plot of land would also be the site of a TV studio, an office building, an auditorium, and a youth camp. In his book, Raising the Ruins, which you can get for free at thetrumpet.com, Mr. Stephen Fleury writes on pages 376 and 377, quoting Mr. Gerald Fleury, his father, "At our college, we will teach our young people to open their minds to all truth and prove all things." Again, this is Mr. Gerald Fleury speaking here. "Our aim will be to provide students with a well-rounded liberal arts education. We plan to have strong classes in history, journalism, music, nutrition, computers, television production, speech, and leadership." Now, Mr. Stephen Fleury, who is the host of the Trumpet Daily, of course, as well as the current dean of students at Ambassador College, comments on what his father was planning for this college. Mr. Stephen Fleury writes, "He wrote this just 2 weeks after buying a field." So Mr. Gerald Fleury had this grand vision for this 38-acre plot of land, this field with a few trees, a very small lake. And yet Mr. Fleury was talking about building a college that would disseminate true education and build the leaders of tomorrow. Mr. Gerald Fleury also wrote back in 2000, "We will have a class on news analysis where students will be taught the true meaning behind world news. They will see how world news is fulfilling Bible prophecy. Their Bibles will come alive as they never imagined. We also have the capacity to teach accounting, agriculture, English, Spanish, and some other basic classes." Now, the faculty of this college, as it quickly came together in just over a year, again, the purchase of the land, June 2000, the start of the college was actually, I believe, September of 2001. So in just over a year, an entire faculty was assembled, an entire college curriculum was put together. But some of this faculty really had to be ready to teach anything. Someone who maybe had a background in accounting had to be ready to teach a class about statistics. Now, those two subjects aren't exactly the same. But everyone came together and worked hard to make God's college go from a vision to a reality. Mr. Stephen Fleury writes about this in Raising the Ruins. We hadn't broken ground on a single building. There were no administrators. There were no departments, no teachers, and no students. Even more astounding was that just a few weeks after my father wrote that article, the church purchased another field of 120 acres. Without a doubt, our college and new headquarters facility had to begin first as a vision. Mr. Gerald Fleury wrote some big words about the college that didn't even exist yet. But the vision was real. The vision inspired action. In the years since, we have also purchased another smaller 10 or so acre plot. And so the college campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma, Herbert W. Armstrong College, is now about 170 acres. And this land continues to be developed and built upon. Miracles continue to occur as God opens doors to continue developing this gorgeous headquarters campus. Notice here in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. This is the word of the Eternal unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Eternal of hosts. We have plenty of material that can prove to you that the type of Zerubbabel here in Zechariah 4, verse 6, is the late Worldwide Church of God founder and Ambassador College founder, Herbert W. Armstrong. Mr. Armstrong faced similar challenges when it came to doing God's work and starting up a college. And with men, these things would have been impossible. With God, it became very possible. By God's Spirit, the college grew. Notice here verse 11, or verse 10, excuse me, Zechariah 4, verse 10. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. So just the focus there is on the day of small things. It can be very easy, humanly, to see a small operation and laugh at it, scorn it, scoff at it. But the reality is, God warns us not to scoff or to despise the day of small things. Really, anything of value has to start small. Mr. Armstrong wrote in his autobiography, which you can also get for free at thetrumpet.com, pages 231 and 232. When the great God, creator and ruler of the vast universe, does something by himself, he demonstrates his supreme power by doing it in a stupendous, awe-inspiring manner. But when it is actually God who is doing something through humans, it must start the smallest. Right? God starts big. God through humans starts small. Mr. Armstrong continues, like the grain of mustard seed, the smallest of herbs, which grows to become the largest. God's work through humans must start the smallest. But they grow and grow and grow until they become the biggest. That's how God always works through human beings. It always starts small. It starts on 38 acres of land in North Edmond, Oklahoma. Mr. Armstrong even started a lot smaller than that. He started out with basically an old building. And he had to really work hard to make sure that his own faculty, these professional professors hired from outside the church, would actually get in line with his teachings. He didn't want professors contradicting God in the different classes at Ambassador College. But it started very small under Mr. Armstrong. Mr. Armstrong wrote about Ambassador College in the January-February 1947 Plain Truth. Ambassador is to be a general liberal arts institution, not a Bible school, minister's college, or theological seminary. It will fit students for all walks of life, offering a general and practical basic education, with unusual advantages for special technical courses, as well as a thorough, sound, complete Bible course. There is no other college like Ambassador. Mr. Stephen Fleury comments on this faithful confidence displayed by Mr. Armstrong. This is page 379 of Raising the Ruins. No other college like Ambassador. There was no Ambassador at that point. All the church had was a rundown building in Pasadena, California. And besides Mr. Armstrong, there was no faculty. No students had even applied. But why was Mr. Armstrong so confident his vision of Ambassador College would turn into reality? Because he had faith in the power of God. Again, it's not by human might nor human power, but by God's Spirit power that God's work is done through human beings. And it does always start small under Mr. Armstrong, under Mr. Fleury. And you notice the clear resemblance between Mr. Armstrong's comments and Mr. Fleury's comments as they aimed to start God's college on earth. Both of them spoke about this as yet non-existent college as though it was already the greatest educational institution on the planet. Their vision was so real to them that it inspired them to take action, to work, and to do whatever it would take to make God's college a reality. Now, as Mr. Stephen Fleury wrote there in Raising the Ruins, Mr. Armstrong had faith in the power of God. Habakkuk 2 verse 4 shows that the human leader of God's church today, which is Mr. Gerald Fleury, lives by faith, just like Mr. Armstrong did. What kind of work of God would it be if the human leader lacked faith? Mr. Armstrong, thankfully, was a pillar of faith. Mr. Fleury today, thankfully, is also a pillar of faith. But to start small like that and require multiple miracles of God to be successful, of course, requires faith. And that's the way God does his work. Mr. Armstrong continued in that January, February 1947 Plain Truth. It is, in a sense, a revolutionary new type college, different from those of today's world. A forward-looking, progressive institution built on soundest principles, having highest goals and objectives, yet employing the best of proved methods of administration and maintaining highest academic standards. The vision of this new and different college and its imperative, urgent need came like a revelation straight from God last spring. The vision has become a definite reality. The opening of Ambassador College next September is assured. Mr. Armstrong spoke with absolute confidence that Ambassador College would come into existence. And it sure did. And it became a nationally recognized college by the 1980s with some of the best landscaping on its campus. And of course, more importantly than the landscaping was the spiritual environment, the environment conducive to learning, an environment that inspired and awestruck various world leaders who would visit the campus with Mr. Armstrong. These leaders felt like they were in paradise. That's how great this college became, but it started very small. Mr. Armstrong wrote that modern education wastes so much time on non-consequential details and impractical and untrue theories instead of teaching young men and women the basic knowledge of life, what life is, why we are here, where we are going, and how to live successfully, usefully, happily, joyfully. Mr. Armstrong presented Ambassador College as the solution to decadent, materialistic, evil modern education. Ambassador College would have a very different curriculum underpinned by vital, true spiritual instruction. Mr. Armstrong even had a crystal clear vision of social life at Ambassador College. Mr. Armstrong said this social life at the college would not just be about fun or worldly pleasures, but about personality and character development, culture, building the social graces of politeness, courtesy, kindness, gentleness, self-restraint, and selflessness. Mr. Stephen Fleury writes on page 381 of Raising the Ruins about Mr. Armstrong. This great visionary was in his 50s when he wrote this, and he had never been to college himself. Even more remarkable is how this 1947 article perfectly describes Ambassador College during the 1980s, more than 30 years later. The Ambassador College that existed at the time of Mr. Armstrong's death in 1986 truly was the product of a vision that started in the smallest of ways in one man's mind. How important is spiritual vision? The fact that humans are going to become gods. And when that's the purpose of our lives, that really ought to inspire action. That kind of a vision of building for God, of serving God, of becoming God, should change everything for us. It's the kind of vision that Mr. Armstrong had in starting Ambassador College, the kind of vision Mr. Fleury had when starting Armstrong College. Now, very recently, the Philadelphia Church of God has purchased another plot of land, this time 160 acres. This is the largest single purchase of land in the history of God's church. 160 acres of land, just a ways north of Edmond. And it's basically a land for our agricultural department to expand. Mr. Fleury talked about this during the Feast of Tabernacles last month. as members of the Philadelphia Church of God, gathered at sites around the world to be taught by God about the future. And Mr. Gerald Fleury said that we spent $180,000 to buy a herd of cattle for this new 160-acre plot of land. It's a spring-fed land. It has beautiful green grass and trees. Now, you might be wondering, why would it be so important to buy a plot of land and have an agricultural department? Well, we need to keep on building and doing God's work until Christ returns. Ambassador College became truly magnificent under Mr. Armstrong's direction. Armstrong College has become spectacular today, especially compared to its small beginning. You can read a lot more about that in chapter 25 of Raising the Ruins. But it's not just Mr. Armstrong and Mr. Fleury buying land with a vision. There's a biblical example of this as well that is really inspiring, and it's the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was actually thrown in prison for trying to warn King Zedekiah of Judah. The Babylonians were closing in, about to conquer all of Judah. And Jeremiah had to say to the king, you need to yield. You need to submit to Babylon, or else the whole nation will be enslaved. Of course, the king hated that message. Jeremiah was thrown in prison. There was no such thing as free speech. And notice this strange activity that Jeremiah undertook while in prison. Jeremiah 32, starting in verse 6, and Jeremiah said, the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, behold, Hanameel, the son of Shallum, your uncle, shall come unto you, saying, buy you my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it. So Hanameel, mine uncle's son, Jeremiah's cousin, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Eternal, and said unto me, buy my field, I pray you, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours, and the redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Eternal. Verse 9 shows that Jeremiah weighed out the money. He made an investment in Anathoth, just 3 miles north of Jerusalem. Now, why would Jeremiah buy a plot of land if Judah was about to be taken as slaves? What was the point of buying a plot of land under such dire circumstances? Well, this was a sign from God that the Jews would triumphantly return to their land, be forgiven by God, and given another chance to obey God. Anathoth was a plot of land with vision. That's why Jeremiah bought it. That's why God told Jeremiah to buy it. Mr. Gerald Fleury writes in his booklet, Jeremiah and the Greatest Vision in the Bible, again, another piece of literature you can receive for free at thetrumpet.com, page 171 of the Jeremiah booklet. Jeremiah was inspired by God to make a strange decision. Just before the whole area fell to Babylon, Jeremiah purchased a plot of land in Anathoth from his prison cell. This was probably the most spiritually evil city in Judah. The priests led a revolt against God from there. You see, Jeremiah needed a lot of vision. A vision of a time when the leadership of Judah wouldn't be so corrupt and rebellious. A time when the Jews would return to their land and live in peace, at least temporarily. In the future, they'll live in peace forever. That's quite a vision. In the December 2019 coworker letter, Mr. Fleury wrote about how Jeremiah was in prison, yet he was also investing everything in Jerusalem. That's the kind of vision we need, a focus on Jerusalem, the headquarters of the world tomorrow, the eternal headquarters of the universe after the world tomorrow. And so we have our plot of land today. We have our little plot, like Jeremiah's land in Anathoth, like Mr. Armstrong's land in California. And God expects us to continue building, continue growing, continue producing with vision, seizing opportunities, and always moving forward in faith. Mr. Fleury stepped out in faith to buy this new plot of land north of the campus to expand the agriculture department. God provided the money from an estate sale, the exact amount of money we needed to purchase the land. And the vision continues. The faith endures. And even if we start small, we continue to build for God. We continue to raise the ruins, as it talks about in Amos 9, verse 11. Raising the ruins of Mr. Armstrong's work. Raising the ruins of God's work. And in doing so, we are preparing not only to build on our little plot of land, but to rebuild the world very soon. And to rebuild the entire universe after that. What a vision. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 12 p.m. Central Time.